Well, it pays to rely on the Lord. I read about a king who didn't rely on the Lord. He relied on the arm of flesh. God said, "You've done foolishly." Well, duh. It's a foolish thing not to rely on the Lord. Amen. And the Lord said, from henceforth, you'll have wars. You want to fight on your own, Bubba? You're going to fight on your own now. Huh? I'd rather rely on the Lord, wouldn't you? And let Him fight my battles. It's a whole lot easier on you if the Lord's fighting. Instead of you fighting by yourself. Amen? Okay, that went over real good, so I better read my text. Thanks again for everything that's been done for us. Certainly enjoying this meeting, and you folks are just treating us so wonderful. We do certainly appreciate it. Praise the Lord. We trust the Lord's helping us to bless, to be a blessing to you. And we certainly want to help you. Praise the Lord. The book of Joshua, chapter number 14 tonight. Praise the Lord. This is a wonderful Wednesday night crowd. It is. I've been to a few meetings where, you know, Wednesday night's midweek service, so usually that's midweek for everybody. And boy, church time getting close. You're just glad to see a set of parking lights, our car lights pull up. Well, at least I'll have two to preach to tonight, maybe. Of course, then you know how most churches are. 2 minutes before the pastor gets up and starts service, there's a rush. Get out of the way. They're coming in. Amen. Praise God. There's nothing wrong with that, you know. Amen. Better late than never. Some of y'all wanted to say amen, but you didn't. That's all right. Praise the Lord. Joshua chapter 14, verse number 6. Oh, hallelujah. I want the Lord to help us tonight. Praise God. Joshua chapter 14, verse number 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said unto him, "Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. I'm 85 now. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Amen. Let's pray tonight and ask the Lord to help us in His Word tonight. Father, we thank You for the privilege and the honor that we have of being in Your house tonight. Thank You for Your presence that we have already sensed and felt in this building tonight. We ask You, Lord, that You would touch us now for these next few minutes. I pray, Lord, that You would anoint me to speak what You've laid upon my heart. Anoint the ears of this people to hear, their hearts to receive. And Lord, let us respond to the Holy Ghost tonight as He calls us around these altars. Lord, I pray that somebody tonight would receive what they need before they leave this building. Lord, I pray You would move and touch us all. And we'll thank You and praise You for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen. God bless you tonight. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you tonight for a few minutes. And I just hope the Lord touches us in such a way that we receive what He'd have for us tonight. But I want to preach tonight on the secret of possessing the blessing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, Caleb to me, now this is just Brother Sean, but Caleb to me is one of those mystery men in the Word of God. He's one of those men that all of a sudden just show up in the Scripture. We know that his father, he was Jephunneh, and we know that he was a Kenizzite, but that's all we know about him. As far as I have read and tried to study and look, and maybe if I've missed something, I'm sure, and if you found it, I'd be glad for you to tell me. But from what I see, Caleb, he was not of the lineage of Jacob or Abraham. He was one of those, and really there's been a lot of debate on how in the world Caleb showed up with the Israelites. How did he get there? Where did he come from? Did he leave with them when they left Egypt? Did he join somewhere along the way? We don't know. But one thing we do know, that Caleb got a hold of a love for their God. And when I think about Caleb, I think about myself. Here, he was a man on the outside. And yet when it was all said and done, he got an inheritance with the Israelites. Huh? That's where we were. We were Gentiles. Huh? We were away. But now, because of what Christ did on Calvary, we've been engrafted in this family of God. And now I, who was once on the outside, am now on the inside, and I get to be a part of the blessings of God. What a wonderful thing. So Caleb, I want to talk to you some about this man Caleb tonight, if the Lord will help me. Praise the Lord. Here they were getting ready. Joshua was passing out, if you will, giving everybody their inheritance, their lot, where they was to go and what belonged to them. The Bible lets us know that Caleb was right there among them, and he wanted to have his part because Moses said he could have it. Amen. And there's some things about Caleb's life that I feel like that is important. I believe that we can apply unto our lives as well. I believe Caleb, amen, was a man that had a great testimony in his life. And the first thing I see, and when I read about Caleb, the first thing I see about him is the fact that Caleb's life was a testimony of commitment. Amen. Y'all stay with me now. Praise God. Caleb's life was a testimony of commitment. Six times we read of the word in the word of God, we read that he wholly or fully followed the Lord. Six times. As I was studying this, I looked up the word holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, in Webster's dictionary. I looked up that word holy. And here's what Webster said this word holy means. It means to the full or entire extent, to the exclusion of other things. He wholly followed the Lord to the full or entire extent. What a testimony. Huh? Wouldn't you like to have that kind of testimony? You know, really, when you think about it, amen, didn't you, when you lived for the devil, didn't you give it your all? I mean, I've heard people get up and testify in church, and I mean, they almost glory in their past. They almost glory on how much they serve the devil. Amen. And all that they've done for the devil when they serve the devil. Amen. And what aggravates me is they come to the house of God and you can't get them to do nothing. Come on now. You can't hardly get them to worship. I mean, you know, you got to tell them when to worship. You got to almost tell them when to stand, when not to. Come on now. Amen. You almost got to throw quarters in their mouth to get them to do something. Come on now. But man, when they do want to say something, they're glorying on how they serve the devil. You know what I believe? I believe that if we gave the devil our all when we served him, when it comes to serving God, we ought to give him our all just as well. Amen. We ought to serve him to the full and entire extent. We ought to serve him with all of our heart, all of our soul. Are you hearing me tonight? I'm telling you, Caleb, he was a man that wholly followed the Lord. As a matter of fact, Caleb's name means wholehearted. Woo! Praise the Lord. Now look here. Amen. Verse number 8. He says, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So we see that he gives his own witness. I have wholly followed the Lord. Now I'm going to tell you, folks, it is very important that you get it settled in your heart how you're going to serve God. Huh? Caleb had his mind made up. When everybody else wasn't going to serve God, he made up his mind, I'm going to. It was settled with him. I'm going to tell you, I see such a generation coming on. They don't hardly know whether they want to serve God or not. They don't know hardly whether they want to be in church or not. They don't know whether hardly or not, amen, what they want to do about the things of God. Amen, I'm telling you, you need to get it settled on the inside. Amen, I'm going to wholly follow the Lord. You need to make up your mind once and for all. Amen, I'm going to quit being in and out, back and forth, up and down, hot and cold, but I'm going to serve God with all of my heart. Amen. He had it settled with himself. I wholly follow the Lord. Verse number 9. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. So we not only see that Caleb had it settled in himself, but we see that Moses gave witness that he wholly followed the Lord. I'm going to tell you, it's one thing to live it within these walls, but it's another thing, brother, to be a Christian on the outside. Come on now. It's easy to come to church and gather with the brethren and the sisters. Amen. And join and worship and have a good time. Amen. And testify. But I'm going to tell you what's more important is that when you're on the outside, this world can get a witness that you are wholly following the Lord. Amen. That they know that you're the same in church that you are on the outside. Can you say amen? I'm telling you, we need some folks that'll be committed to God and be so committed that they'll live the same all the time. That's why the church is suffering tonight. Because the world has seen us act one way in church and another way outside. Come on now. Amen. My grandpa, he went several years ago to buy a van. They was getting ready to do some traveling. And they needed a vehicle. They needed a van to haul the musical instruments in. And so he went down and he found this van on this car lot. And he began to talk to this man. And my grandpa said, man, I mean, every other word that come out of his mouth was a four-letter word. He was cussing like a sailor. And so he asked Grandpa, he said, well, what do you like about this van? What are you going to use it for? And Grandpa said, well, he said, I'm a preacher. And I got a family, a singing family. And we're going to go out and we're going to sing and preach the gospel across the country. And I want to have this van so that we can haul our instruments in. He said, oh, he said, well, what belief are you? And my grandpa said, well, we're Pentecostal. He said, oh, that's what I am. Amen. He said, I have the Holy Ghost and he's right here. My grandpa said, I've known the Holy Ghost for 35 years and I've never heard him cuss one time. Come on now. I'm going to tell you what. Amen, brother. Amen. When you're totally committed to God, amen, you'll live right all the time. Woo! Praise God. I may need something for protection for this. I can't find nothing up here. Praise the Lord. Oh, you've already looked. Amen. Praise God. I'm telling you what. Amen. We need to understand. Hallelujah, folks, that living a committed life to Christ is the most important thing we can do. Amen. So we see that Caleb gave his own witness. Moses gave witness. And then verse 14 said, Hebron therefore became, amen, the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Not only had Caleb gave witness and Moses gave witness, amen, but Joshua wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost witnessed. He said he wholly followed the Lord God. I'm telling you, amen, folks, we need to get so committed, amen, that it not only bears witness with us and with those on the outside, but heaven knows how we're following God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Y'all still with me? Amen. Hang on. Praise the Lord. This might get a little easier as we go along. But I don't guarantee my preaching. I don't. All right. Look here. Here was Caleb. He did not believe in serving God half-heartedly. It was all or nothing with him. Ooh, we need that kind of revival in the church. Where we'd serve God with everything that's in us. That we would wholly follow the Lord. Brother O.D. already mentioned it tonight. You know, Peter was one that was quick to open his mouth and to put his foot in. He was always quick at doing that. And, you know, the Lord was trying to tell them what was going to happen. He was going to be given to the hands of sinners, be crucified and all that good stuff. And you know that he raised from the dead. And Peter said, not so. And then he goes on to say, well, he said, man, if that's what you got to do, I'm going with you. I mean, I'm ready to go to prison, to death, whatever it is. I'm ready to do it. And then the Bible says when they came and got Jesus in the garden, Peter followed afar off. He wasn't as committed as he thought he was. Hello? Sometimes we need to check our commitment level.
Hello?
Isn't it something how that when we want something, how quick we can become committed to it? I know people that goes on, you know, they're wanting to take a vacation. And I'm telling you, they'll not go out to eat. They will hardly go to town. They will hardly do nothing because they're saving money to go on vacation. But when the church needs a little help financially, you preach the rest of that. Huh? How committed are we? We got some folks, they'll drive through sleet, ice, snow. They'll drive through any kind of, they'll cross streets that's got water that deep on them to get to work. But if it looks cloudy, they won't even come to church. Come on now. And then they want to stand up and tell us how much they love God and how committed they are. Baloney. Come on now. Woo! Boy, is it me or is it getting hot in here? Praise God. I'm telling you, God is looking for people that'll be committed to Him and to His church. Are you hearing me? I said committed to Him and His church. Hallelujah. Oh, I'll tell you, it would do the church a lot of good if we could all just get to the place to where we would wholly follow the Lord. Amen. Live or die, sink or swim. Amen. Whatever the cost, whatever it takes. Amen. To live a life that God can be pleased with. To live a life that's committed. Amen. To the cause of Christ. I'm telling you, amen. The cause of Christ is the greatest thing that's ever known to mankind, and God needs some people that'll get a hold of this commitment and stay with it. Amen. Get in and shout during revival, and then two Wednesday nights later, the pastor has to drag you through a service. Come on now. We need to be committed. Amen. Woo! Glory. Man, oh man. He was committed. His life was a testimony of commitment. I'd like to have that kind of testimony, wouldn't you? Amen. Praise God. I mean, you know, it's good that people say, man, that guy's committed to his job. Amen. Or man, he's committed to his family, and you ought to be. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, man, I mean, they're committed. Look at them. They love their children. That's good. They're providing for them. That's good. They're committed. But I'm going to tell you, amen, the greatest testimony a man or woman can have is when somebody looks at them and said, man, there's somebody that's committed to Jesus. There's somebody that's committed to the cause of Christ. I'm telling you, that's what we need. We need some people that'll wholly follow the Lord. Amen. To the full or entire extent. To the exclusion of other things. Sometimes following the Lord, wholly following the Lord, caused sacrifice. And sometimes we got to turn some things loose. Hello. How many knows you can't hang on to God and the world? You cannot serve two masters. That's what Jesus said. Amen. You can't serve two masters. It's either all or nothing. Can you say amen? Amen. The Lord, praise God. One man said, He will either be the Lord of all or He won't be Lord at all. Amen. I'm telling you, it's all or nothing with God. Amen. And I've come to preach to some of you tonight and to tell you, amen, quit floating around the edges. Amen. Quit just playing around the fringe. But why don't you just make up your mind once and for all? I'm going to serve God. I'm going to get in with all of my heart. I'm going to quit pulling back on God. I'm going to turn loose of the reins and say, God, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to follow You whithersoever You lead. Amen. Praise God. Well, glory. So his life was a testimony of commitment. Number two, his life was a testimony of courage. Numbers 13 and 30 said, This is after they have returned from spying out the land. You know, and as the pastor said Sunday, some came with gripes and some came with grapes. I like that. Amen. Praise God. And you know, 10 spies came back with an evil report. And the people's heart began to melt. Huh? Isn't it something how discouragement can spread so fast? Huh? Amen. That's why it's important, child of God, that you stay in tune with heaven. Huh? Amen. I'm not saying that there won't be times where we won't feel a little bit discouraged and we won't feel a little bit down. There's going to be times we're going to feel discouraged. But I'm going to tell you, we need to grab a hold of it and get the victory over it before it spread. Come on now. There's a lot of folks, they like to waller in their discouragement. Come on now. They want everybody to feel sorry for them. They want everybody to come and, amen, pat them on the back and shake their hand and, oh, just a pity all over them. But I'm going to tell you, you don't realize what you're doing. You're spreading that spirit through the church. Amen. I'm telling you, we need some folks, amen, that'll get a hold of God, get some courage about themselves, amen, and say, my God, I want the victory. Amen. I got to have the power and the touch of God in my life. Hallelujah. So here they were. The people's hearts begin to melt. Verse number 30 of Numbers 13 said, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Let's go right now. Let's go right now. Amen. I'm telling you, Brother O.D., he was trying to stop the discouragement. He was trying, amen, to keep the people from making a grave mistake. Amen. He was saying, look here. God said we could have that land. God's given us that land. Amen. Let's not get discouraged and give up. Amen. But he said, let's go right now. I'm going to tell you, the church, amen, could use a truckload of Caleb. Amen. It's got some courage about him. Amen. They will not cower down to anything or anybody. I will stand for the truth. Hallelujah. Amen. Here's something about this man, Caleb. He was willing to put his life on the line to possess the land. Huh? Did you hear what I said? He was willing to put his life on the line to possess the land. We got some folks, they're not willing to put anything on the line, let alone their life for Christ. Come on now. Praise God. I'm telling you tonight, brother and sister, we need some courage among us. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, Brother Carey, I'm so tired of seeing, amen, God's people walk around with their head down. Amen. Always, amen, the enemy beating the daylights out of them. Amen. Always dragging to church and dragging home, dragging through life. Amen. Walking around with a tucked head. I'm telling you, we're the child of the King. Amen. God is on our side. We have no reason or right, amen, to live a defeated life because Jesus won the ultimate victory and because he overcame the world, so should care where shall we. Amen. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Numbers 14 and verse 9 tells us that Caleb stood with Joshua against the whole congregation of the children of Israel to try to keep them from rebelling against God. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said he rent his clothes and they cried, oh, do not rebel against God. Don't rebel. And you know what? If those old crazy outfits didn't start talking of stoning them too, because they was trying to stand for what was right. They was trying to stand, amen, for the promise that God had given them. Amen. And the rest of the congregation started crying out, stone them! Sound like a couple of pastors to me. Right. Woo! My Lord have mercy. Help me tonight, Lord. Praise God. Oh, I'm telling you, amen, we need some people that's got courage, that'll be willing to face the enemy and not be afraid, who will refuse to be intimidated by the devil. Are you listening to me? Amen. Don't you be intimidated by the devil. Come on now. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. He said, oh, preacher, now he said, I don't want to get the devil stirred up. Amen. I don't want to make the devil mad. I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to make him any more mad than he already is. Hello. Amen. He's been mad for a long, long time. Hallelujah. Amen. Ever since the day he thought he would get above God and dethrone God. Amen. And God, amen, threw him out of heaven so fast that Jesus said, I saw him fall like lightning. Come on now. Amen. He's been mad ever since. You ain't gonna make the devil any more mad than what he is. Amen. But if you let him defeat you, amen, you'll lose the victory. You'll lose out with God. But if you'll get a hold of yourself, amen, stand up like the soldier God's called you to be. Amen. And go fight the devil. God will give you the victory. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh yes. Praise the Lord. A great preacher out east. Great man. They called him. Miles. Miles away they called him. Said, brother, we have somebody here. They're demon possessed. I want you to come and pray for them. He said, okay. I'll be there. He drove for miles. And when he got there, a young preacher come running out of the house with eyes about that bigger man. He said, oh, came up to that preacher. He said, oh, whoo, man, he's tough. He said, we'll never cast that devil out. And that man of God said, well, how do you know? He said, because that demon rose up with him and said, you'll never cast me out. That old man of God looked at him and said, did you believe him? You know what? If we'd listen to God as much as we listen to the devil, the church would be in revival tonight. Hello. Amen. Woo. Praise the Lord. Boy, I need to hurry. I feel it. I feel it more than one way. I feel it. Jonathan, you know something? Here were the Israelites. They're all hiding in caves. They're hiding in the bushes. They was hiding in holes in the ground. They're hiding everywhere they could because the Philistines was in the land. And Jonathan said one day to the young man that bare his armor, said, hey, let us go over here to the garrison of the Philistines. And he said, it just might be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Huh? There's no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. God don't need a big army to whoop the devil. He just needs one man or one woman that's full of commitment and courage. Huh? Jonathan said, or his armor bearer said, I wish I'd known the name of his armor bearer. I love this guy. Amen. We need a church full of them. Because he said, do whatever in your heart. I'm with you. Whatever's in your heart, I'm ready. Huh? He didn't say, well, now, Jonathan, you know, maybe we ought to vote on this. Huh? Maybe we ought to call all the brothers together. Maybe we ought to discuss this, talk this over.